Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi guys.
Hi everyone. We're back.
It's Laura
and Carrie, and
we are here.
We are here
to tell you breaking
some
news,
unfortunate truth,
unsettling. So, listener of the pod. Hold on, I have to pull this message up because it was, his name's at James KS on Insta. He was at the show. He's a really funny guy. He's at the Roxy show. He messaged me that Rodeo recently tweeted, interesting, tagged all the Trump family, including Tiffany.
Love.
Texas, and just a photo of a screenshot that says Texas has more acres of forest than California and currently zero fires, same global climate. And she wrote, interesting.
That is interesting. I don't think that I'm on her Twitter now, but
I think she's a little cute, Laura.
Is that a QAnon thing?
She's a little bit cute. Well, it's like there's a theory that
that global warming is fake.
No, that leftists are starting fires.
Starting fires to prove that global warming is real.
Yeah.
I love.
There's like a whole conspiracy theory going on about, like, because people are like, do you see on a map up in Portland or in Oregon, the fires stop at the Canadian border, and on the map and the graphic it shows, like, there's no fires up in Canada, so what's that all about? And then this fireman took to the video and was like, that's because we don't register Canadian fires.
Yeah, because we're not talking the same about America. We only care about American fires. I love the same global climate. Interesting. Texas has more acres of forest than California and currently zero fires. Same global climate. I love tagging Tiffany Trump. Like, what the fuck is she going to do with that info? As if she gives a rat's ass.
As if Tiffany Tiffany knows what she's even talking about.
Yeah. Tiffany's like, what? Wow.
I'm just on her Twitter. It's a wild. Satan may be winning a bunch of battles right now, but make no mistake, God wins the war. That's one of her tweets.
Her Instagram presence is really good and uplifting, I will say. She does post like a lot of inspiring quotes, and it seems that she's still wearing the same outfits that she wore on Rock and Love. She found her personal style and has stuck with it all these years. So to that, I tip my hat.
I think she's an interior designer now, though.
Really?
Or she like, yeah, she sets, and she's very Christian. So she, I think she's taken a, yeah, she, table decor.
Oh, wow. She's doing some tablescapes.
Uh-huh. She's an interior designer, I believe.
I love. She's also obsessed with fall.
And stilettos. She loves a heel, a high heel.
She's never met a high heel she hasn't loved. And she also makes her own memes featuring herself with like a font that you can. I used to make these memes for White Girl Problems on. It's just like you can make them on like PowerPoint.
Yeah.
She loves a PowerPoint inspirational quote meme featuring her.
She also smokes like 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
I love it.
But yeah, that's just a little. Rock of Love news.
Listen to this, though. Sorry, everyone here knows that it was only a matter of time before I take things to a place of 9/11 before one of us does, but she had a really good 9/11 post. She says, in all the years since 9/11, we have never forgotten and we never will. Hashtag never forget. Hashtag God bless all. Hashtag God bless our heroes. Hashtag affiliate. Hashtag affiliate marketing.
Oh my God.
And then like a bunch of other hashtag New York, hashtag NYC, hashtag Manhattan, hashtag daily inspiration, hashtag daily wisdom, hashtag influencer, hashtag thoughts, hashtag love, hashtag words, hashtag growth.
Words.
Love, words, thoughts.
Words is my favorite. Hashtag words is the ultimate hashtag. Because it's literally just words.
It literally is every hashtag. In the entire world is hashtag words.
Hashtag words.
Hashtag words. Hashtag affiliate marketing. For what? On 9/11?
Are there women in Oklahoma like her?
Yes. These are like, I truly love these kinds of people.
Your gut instinct is the voice of God.
I'm like, God bless you in the way that you look at the world. It adds a little, like,
she posted a photo flavor to August, the on August 17th of a from 1945, the RMS Queen Elizabeth pulling into New York with servicemen returning home after the end of World War II, 1945. What a photo. Hashtag World War II.
She also made a PowerPoint collage of 9/11 that she shared on September 10th. I love thinking of Rodeo just sitting at her computer, putting together her PowerPoints and like feeling good about her artistic work. Keeps me going. By the way, you're listening to
Sexy,
Unique
Podcasts.
Insatiable bitch goddesses.
Goddesses, which I mistakenly wrote goddess on Instagram.
You wrote goddess on Instagram and I think Twitter too, but I love like that confusion is part of the
mistake.
Brand. Yeah, that it's part of the brand. What is
Sorry
the name?
About
I
it.
Don't know. We don't know,
I don't
but we're
know.
On the same page. Goddesses.
Oh my God. She's also, Rodeo, I think, is married to a man who in his bio has multi-million dollar selling realtor.
Weirdly, I think
so,
that
doing
some
well.
of the our bitch goddesses are doing incredibly well. Like, we looked up Tiffany on Instagram, and she's really, like, she's a registered nurse.
She also doesn't believe in COVID, I believe.
Really? I didn't catch that.
I think she's, like, an anti-masker.
Interesting. Interesting.
And,
position.
Rodeo's husband does Compass Realty. I've heard of them. Compass with, like, the slash through the O.
Oh, yeah. Are there, like, a big... Yeah. Isn't that, like, big, like, Keller Williams or something like that?
Oh, maybe. It's, like, really big. It's really important.
It's huge. But, yeah, I think that she does well for herself.
Yeah,
does she not wear masks? She looks great.
She always... I think she had one post that was like, hold on.
She's wearing masks. She has a mask that says Tiffany on it.
Oh.
She had a post where she posted an emergency alert she got that says state needs licensed healthcare workers to sign up at illinoishelps.net to fight COVID-19. And she wrote, alert, 4 a.m. Who does that?
Oh, I was wrong, I guess. Sorry. Sorry to Tiffany. She's taking COVID seriously.
Yeah, she's been on the front lines.
Sorry.
Fighting for all of us.
Oh my God. Sorry.
Wow, the day that Carrie comes for a registered nurse, that he turns on one of our fearless nurses. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Getting COVID is, in Tiffany's mind, the ultimate threat of a good time.
Yes, it's an imperative to make sure she, as well as those she cares for, survive, because she just wants everyone to have a good time.
Yeah, or like, what is it? Surviving, fighting COVID is her idea of a good time, and she always says, "Don't threaten me with a good time." So she's ready to jump in on the front lines and save people. I wonder if she Don't threaten me with a good time. They're like, "Hey, we're out of PPE." Grab an Arrowhead water bottle and cut it in half and put it over your head. We need you at the hospital ASAP. And she goes, don't threaten me with a good time.
Don't threaten me with a good time. I had a couple drinks.
I got a lemonade for fucking salty.
I got a lemonade for fucking salty.
You do it so well.
It's all about the slur. I got a lemonade for fucking salty. For fucking salty. Speaking of salty, so Stassi did her, she did like her first post-firing interview with Tamron Hall. And who is like, I feel like, she's a good person. Like, she's very, like, I mean, she's so great at interviewing.
Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, she asked some hard-hitting questions.
But, like, you have to expect that that's what you're going to be asked. And Stassi went in there completely unprepared. She sounded like an idiot. I didn't even get through the interview because I was cringing so hard.
Oh, really? But I thought that she sounded, like, incredibly, like, media coached and, like, trained in exactly how, like, what to say, but nothing, saying nothing that could garner any sort of response either way, kind of thing.
Maybe that's what God, I'm like off base apparently today.
No, I don't think
I'm like off base.
Carrie comes on this podcast trying to spread rumors and I shut him down. And that's what happens.
That's our podcast dynamic. I come in with salacious rumors and misinformation and Laura has to take to the internet to shut me down.
I go, fact check time.
Fact check time. Carrie, fact check.
Fact checking this libtard. I'm going to shut down everything he says one by one. I'm like, go Q at the end. Like, what if I was like full QAnon? I'm obsessed. True, I know that QAnon is bad. And I say this knowing that. But I'm fucking obsessed with cuties. I'm like, I think of them all the time. That's just what I call QAnon people.
I'm very darked out by, like, mommy influencers who are, like, contributing to QAnon and, like, these really powerful, like, very white mom influencer, like young mom influencers who are like posting vague, cryptic save the children posts, you know what I mean? Like, and with no explanations.
Is that what they mean? They mean save the children from, like,
I'll send you, there's this whole, someone did I think it was in New York Magazine, just this really long post about, or a really long piece about, she went deep into the world of mommy blogger QAnon women. Wow. who are getting rocketing to like famous influencer status by using QAnon. Like they use it to a lot of,
they use it, yeah, to like bump up their engagement and followers.
And then some of them end up believing it. Because so many people are QAnon.
Wow. Remember when Lala, she shared an Instagram
Q
story and then just hashtagged Q?
Q.
Q.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of cuties out there. You have to watch out or you're going to become, you flirt with it until it flirts back.
Yeah.
And sucks you in. But yeah, Stassi mm-hmm. went on Tamron Hall. And Tamron,
I didn't think she sounded good. I think she sounded, I mean, no, she was truly like
she sounded like an idiot, but
she was very go girl, give us nothing.
And kept things really vague and like wouldn't really answer questions, like couldn't cite like specifics, anything of like, because Tamron was like, well, what have you been doing? Like, what happened? And then I just think Stassi was coached by someone to just like not say anything that could later be used to like incriminate her or generate any bad press. And then so it just is like, oh, she did a good thing by like going on this show and like owning it. It's like all about like, I own what I did. Like it was my fault. Like just say that over and over. So that's like the soundbite that gets out, or like, I was a Karen. And that's like what gets like repeated and like regurgitated as the headline about this thing. But it really didn't give us any more than that, or open up the grounds for like a larger, more nuanced conversation about like race and like white privilege, etc. Because
yeah,
she doesn't actually admit to anything, really.
No, and she also like she let us know that she's working with a teacher about like, she's like studying about Black history, but it's like she couldn't give us any kind of information that showed that she was informing her. Like she just kept saying like, well, I have a teacher now. I'm learning things I didn't realize, like all this, and it's like,
she
but
just
none
kept
of
being
it
like,
came
Black
through.
People have been through so much. It's like, yeah, like that is a true that we all know as just being like an American citizen.
But she was acting like she just like found out, maybe she did, but that doesn't excuse like, and she, what I didn't like was like, she actually, Tamron was being like pretty fair with her, and Stassi still managed to make like little bit defensive faces, like her Stassi, like she kept, some of it was cracking a little, I think.
Yeah, well, I think it was the most interesting part was Tamron,
and I'm like, you
kept
have
going,
no.
Yeah, you're bad at this. You're better at acting like just like a spoiled bitch. Like, it's sad that you don't get to do that anymore because you're actually very skilled at it. But like, when Tamron was like, she's like, I'm shocked that you grew up in a city like New Orleans and then lived in a city like Los Angeles and you didn't know that it was like not okay to say the things that you said. Like, what's up with that, essentially? And then Stassi's like, I didn't know, or like, I was just like ignorant, or like blah blah blah. But it's like, no, bitch, like, you knew and you did it anyways because you grew up in circles of people where it was okay to say that kind of stuff. Like, that would have at least been the honest answer of being like, yeah, I knew that it was shocking, but my friends and I and the people I surround myself with, like, that's kind of been our sense of humor, and so to us it's always been like funny and insular, but when it like radiates out from that group, like, it's no longer okay. So I've had to learn, like, the boundaries with my own humor. Give me something, some sort of shred of, like, a deeper sense of self-awareness and, like, because I know that Stassi's not dumb. You know what I mean? She knows exactly what she's doing when she puts Nazi chic on a photo. She knows that she's trying to be, like, provocative and funny. That's, like, the only reason that you would do that. And so,
yeah,
just, like, own that and then, like, I don't know, dissect it a little bit or look into it and then, like, move the conversation along. You end up looking smarter just by being honest than trying to, like, hide shit.
Yeah, and Tamron was like, and she said, Stassi was like, the fact that I even had these thoughts and said them out loud, and then Tamron goes, loudly, very much loudly so. Like she was not letting her off the hook, which I really loved. And then I guess Stassi now is saying that she felt ambushed.
Oh, is she?
And Tamron, well, the reason why she just released a video today.
Stassi did?
About Tamron, because I guess Stassi fans are coming for her.
Oh, so, I'm sure they are. Because another thing, when she was like,
but the other day, I was told that there was a report that Stassi felt, quote, unprepared, and that it was, quote, awkward, even that I had gone rogue, whatever that means. Let me just be open, because I'm expecting everybody who's participating in this show today, I want them to be open, so I have to do the same. It's why I wanted this show, to be honest with you. So I'm going to take you behind the scenes of TV. Now, I don't tell people the specific questions I'm going to ask them. How they answer, that's up to them. But the topic and everything that we discussed, Stassi knew. She knew the subject matter. She knew what I was going to ask her, not the questions. In fact, the night before the interview, it was asked that I not discuss her controversial comments on the Me Too movement, where she had criticized women who'd come forward with their painful stories. And she made even more hurtful remarks about sexual assault that hit me to my gut that I didn't ask her. But again, I want to be honest with you. Given that she was 5 months pregnant, the issue of race was hard enough for her and for me. And there was a lot to unpack, including that Nazi comment. So I said,
Lest we forget.
Not going to go down that road, but we would have this difficult conversation that we all should have to provide a better platform for our children.
She finds a way to be the victim a little bit. Awkward. No, it was like awkward. Worthless. It was like so awkward.
Also,
it was like awkward.
Tamron was like, why are you even doing this? Like, are you doing this so that you can have a job later? Like, you're doing this because your income is dried up and, like, you need to, like, save face in order to get hired. And it's like, yes. Like, I mean, I wish that she had just been like, yeah, like, I need to learn. And, like, obviously I have a lot to learn, but that's also part, like, be fucking honest for once in your life. Everyone knows that that's the motivation. You don't go book yourself at 5 months pregnant on a talk show with, like, a black host to talk about the big racist scandal that you had if you're not trying to get back in, like, the public's good graces and fix your image. Like,
totally.
That is the reason. Also, it's like, you're 5 months pregnant, you're now laying groundwork slow. I believe this is part of, like, a long-term plan to, over the next 5 months or however, over the next 4 months, because pregnancy is 9 months, it took me a second to do the math there. We're going to be seeing more of Stassi's online, social media presence. She probably is going to have, like, a write-up in some sort of, like, Us Weekly or People or something about, like, her baby shower or whatever. And you're going to start feeding more media stuff so that when she has the baby, she's, like, positioning it to be, like, Stassi's a mom. And, like, how are we going to milk this pregnancy and this, like, baby for all that it's worth and, like, try and pivot to the next phase of, like, fame?
And they're positioning her to be sympathetic.
Yeah, being like, oh, she's like do the interview when you're pregnant because you'll avoid really having someone go in on you. It's like, it's just lame.
Unless we forget, like, she called the police on a black woman.
Yeah.
Like, she could have seriously, like, Stassi is a dangerous person.
Like, gleefully called the police multiple times to try and convince them that, like, Faith was this person. The doubling down and being like, I feel like Dodie came out of the woodwork somewhere in the last week, or someone was like, no, you don't understand. Like, people were calling us, like, we thought that it was her. It's like, that's not the point. But also, I mean, I don't know. It sucks. Like, I truly always thought, I guess, that Vanderpump Rules was like, the people on Vanderpump Rules were uncancelable because of all the horrible shit that they constantly do to each other and, like, the world at large. Like, no one has ever seemed to give a shit until now, when, like, they absolutely should give a shit. But it's just like, as just a person who consumes this, like, obviously, like, rapidly consumes, like, any sort of Vanderpump Rules anything, I feel, especially this week with, like, learning about, like, Jax and Brittany's pregnancy and just being like, oh my god, like, there's a huge part of me that's like, god, I wish this, like, whole gang was back together and they were filming and, like, blah blah blah. And it's like, I kind of have to take mentally, like, I've taken, like, I also recognize that me feeling like that is probably part of the greater problem of being like, I, as a white person, am like willing to forgive the shit that these people did and just chalk it up to like, oh, they're trash people that do trash things, and like, get the ball rolling and like, let's get this show on the road, because it doesn't affect me that much.
It doesn't affect you in the same way, or it doesn't affect me in the same way, but it should. There needs to be ramifications, and we have to like,
yeah.
We have to go with that, you know?
It's like, I wonder if it's like everyone feels that way. I'm like, why are we holding like these just like trash people to this high standard? Like, does that move the needle, or is that also part of the problem that I would think that way? Like,
but here's the thing though, with I hear what you're saying, but here's the thing, like, Stassi, Vanderpump Rules became sort of elevated to like mainstream. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't just like, it started out as this like gawking at these like kind of aggressive, you know, heavy drinking young people
with like a niche, quotes, young underbelly people.
And now they, whether we realize it or like it or not, they were like elevated to mainstream status, and Stassi has a huge following, and there's people mm-hmm. who like ride or die for Stassi. And it's not just, we're like, oh my god, this like heinous queen bee who's like fun to watch like have cry and yell at people on TV. It's like, she's now like a lifestyle brand in a way, and like, they were positioning her to be like that. So like, there is a reason that she has millions of followers and like a huge, or did have like a really successful podcast and was making millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it elevated her, you know what I mean? And elevated all of them, really, especially the ones who that we were sort of horrified by, like the Jaxes and like even Dowdy, you know what I mean? Like, it made them legitimize Stassi. So, yeah. When we find out that she, you know, potentially put a black woman's life at risk, or just gravely hurt her, or like got her into like insane legal problems, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, that does have to be, like, we do have to hold Stassi to like that standard, because even if she does like reprehensible things on the show and it's like, oh, but she does that and like she's, you know, screaming at people, it's like, that doesn't excuse that she is getting all these perks. You know what I mean? So like, we do have to hold them to the standard. And like, I get what you're saying. It's like, they're just garbage people and we can't expect more from them. But like, we do kind of, because fucking Lisa Vanderpump has legitimized these ghouls.
Yeah. Because now, like, she is like having more now influence, she's like, and perks. But at the same time, totally. It's like, her follower count hasn't gone down at all. Like, the audience for whatever it is that she's selling is still very much there and probably ready to be monetized however she decides to monetize them. But,
well, that's what's sick about just, it is like, yeah, she, it's like she could shit... I see it as, sorry,
oh no, I was just gonna say, like, it's like everything just shit got too real in that universe, kind of. Like, it got too real and the stakes got so high when it was just like, oh, like, this can't, like, it's untenable at this point. Like, how much can we...
Well, it felt like sort of that...
I've never really seen that before on a reality show where it's like...
I haven't either.
How much can we, like, really take from these people? Because I'm truly, like, I can take it all, baby. I'm like, all day, just give it to me. Like, be as just, like, shitty and awful as you want to be, and I will, like, eat it up. But then...
But you also see the other side of, like...
But I also see the other side where I'm like, I'm not buying... Like, I'm not supporting this person. Like, I don't listen to this person's podcast. I don't buy their product. Like, I don't believe in, like, financial support of Stassi and, like, what the product she was selling. So it's like, I guess I'm in, like, a different league of fanship. It is still elevating it somewhat because you are, like, watching the show that this person is on and, like,
exactly,
like, to watch, so, them, like, on TV.
And in a way, we have to hold ourselves as viewers accountable. Like, when I watch Housewives and I'm watching, you know, and it's, I guess, a part, I feel maybe more, I love Vanderpump Rules and I'm obsessed with it, but I also feel, like, more emotionally tied to the Housewives because I've just been watching it for longer.
Yeah.
And I'm way more invested in, especially New York. But, like, I get offended when Ramona is, like, flat, like, defying
COVID
health protocols and, like, partying with Donald Trump's son. Like, I get offended by that. This woman that, like, I've known in quotes. And again, a show like Housewives of New York has been elevated to, like, an almost prestige reality show, which is the same thing with Vanderpump Rules. So it's like, we kind of have to, I agree with you. VPR is, I think, is a different, their ascension has been more, like, meteoric and, like, way more fast and quicker than even Housewives in a lot
60,
of ways.
Yeah, it went from 0 to 60 relatively quickly. And then, but what also was very telling is that, like, as Housewives ascended, it's gotten better and better. Like, I think New York is, like, great. But as Vanderpump Rules ascended, it just got exponentially worse. Like, got to, like, unwatchable points, I think, in the last two seasons. Or, like, abysmal. And, like...
You can't... Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you can't build a show on Dynamite and, like, not expect it to like, implode.
Explode, yeah.
Because it's like... It was always such a volatile, aggressive, kind of almost angry, like, punishing show in many ways.
Resentments, yeah, like, and like so much bubbling beneath the surface that it's like there was only one direct, like, this was the only viable outcome, really.
Yeah, but it's not
disappointing. It's a disappointing outcome because I always just thought, like, one of these people are going to, like, die or something, like, horrific, like, is going to befall them. And really it's just more of like they are the monsters that we thought they were. And
yeah, or worse. And
yeah. And that really sucks. You know,
but for me, like, I'm happy that Stassi's, I don't want to see her on the show anymore. And, like, I'm not just being like, I miss the Stassi, like, running through, like, the Grove parking lot and, like, yelling at Jack. You know what I mean? And, like, it was fun to watch, but, like, she's...
But, like, knowing what you know now and, like, having that in the back of your mind,
it would
be...
to me in the last season.
No, she really did give us give us zero.
And I don't want to watch Dirty John Bowe. And second of all, I don't watch the producer, knowing that, like, the production was like, we're going to give them the hero edit. And, like, we've chosen Stassi and Bo to be our surrogates. There are no surrogates of ours.
No, I never chose it.
Fuck them both. You, they foisted that upon both of us and the rest of the whoever was watching
they
it.
They did this.
But there are people who eat, they did this, but there are people who eat that shit up and they like ride or die for Stassi and like they're sending, you know, they're going to like stan her regardless. And like, even knowing that she's a racist pig and like a Nazi, like,
well, that I'm sure
Nazi Amory.
Huge part of her fan base is also like racist. And so I'm sure that that
fires
them up even more.
It probably does. And that's why I think someone like her needs to be like her feet held to the flame because she's dangerous.
Yeah.
I think someone like her actually has the potential to be dangerous in an influential way. Like, you know, a part of me was not even seeing her trying to come back into the, like, the fold that she was in and seeing and, like, going straight for, like, the Fox and Friends route of being, like, a surrogate, like, on Fox News
I think that Stassi wants to, like, she wants fame. She has since day one. Like, you don't go on multiple reality TV shows and try to land something and then get something like Vanderpump Rules and propel to the level of fame and wealth that she was propelling to and then just like give up. Like, this is like a long, and she hired that like PR, that like crisis management PR team, which just to me seems like it's a long strategy of getting back to where she once was. And
no, I know, it's just
part of me is like, oh, if you kept her on Vanderpump Rules, obviously you're sending, like, that's a terrible message for like a network to send, but it feels like the network knew they can't send that message. But then at the same time, it's like, well, if you have her on the show and you just continue to like expose how awful she is, like, won't people wise up eventually? But maybe not, because I mean, Donald Trump, you think that people are going to wise up every day, and I don't think that that's how it works anymore. I think that your fan base from exposure, once it's at a certain level, it just like grows exponentially over time.
I agree with you. And like, I'm sorry, but like, even the smartest person can be fooled by a camera.
Yeah.
And like, when you have a camera on someone and there's production, and like Donald Trump is the president because people like The Fucking Apprentice and they're racist and hate women. And you put all those things together and you get a president, Donald Trump, you know what I mean? So like, I'm not saying Stassi's, but I'm saying like, even if they're exposing her and like showing us just how bad she gets, like the cameras and the money she's getting, it all legitimizes her.
Yeah.
So like she needs, so it's just like, it's like a very weird, dark line. And I just think she's dreadful.
Well, at least she looked like shit in that interview.
And I'm sorry,
I'd like be more mad at my hair and makeup team than I would at Tamron if I were her. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just, yeah, you know what I mean.
Hollywood, am I right? It's just, I think
Hollywood,
we're entering a new era of fame and like fandom and what it means to be an influencer and like where that comes from, because but it's like, it's just like another facet of it. But especially I'm interested, as much as like I hate myself for being interested, I am interested in what happens next, like with Stassi. Like, I'm interested in it, and I hate that I don't love that.
No, I mean,
myself.
There's some like Schadenfreude.
Just like, wow, like this person truly, it's just like it's a level of shamelessness that I am not personally familiar with. Like, if I was in her position, I would have moved to like North Dakota, bought a cabin, and like raised my child amongst like sheep and sheepdogs. Like, that would have been it for me. But she wants to be back in the scene. She
wants to be famous.
And she now has a captive audience that will support her no matter what. So it's kind of like, at what point do these like messages or like deplatforming her on places like Vanderpump Rules or like podcasts or whatever, like what does that really do aside from just like send a message, or like in Bravo's case, like they have to think, they have their business to think about, you know what I mean? Not to be like so cynical, like I'm sure that they're like horrified and don't want to be associated with like a racist, but you think of them
as
they associated with Thomas Ravenel, like a known, like a rapist for forever. So like, I don't know. It's interesting to see like where they draw the line.
Yeah. And like,
I mean,
look,
Thomas Ravenel literally like lived on a plantation.
Oh, they're horrible. And Bravo has no problem like towing that line between like, is this acceptable to even have this person on the show? You know what I mean? Like I think Bravo kind of, part of the appeal to some of these shows is that line between like watching, hate watching, and being like so repulsed you can't watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like they kind of get off on that. Not in like, it's good. I think we have to assume most TV networks are just like very cynical.
Yeah, and I think it's like at the end of the day they're running like numbers and being like just reactive, especially during like that specific time.
Yeah,
being like thinking of their bottom line and what's going to be like the most beneficial to them. But it's also interesting, it just shows like the power, how what the power structure is at these networks and how Vanderpump Rules, they may be like have ascended to like global recognition or national recognition, but they're still at the bottom of the totem pole.
For sure.
Like, they're the most expendable of, like, all Bravo celebrities, and, like, they can go. So, in that sense, it's like, okay, everything is in its right place. But, yeah.
Anyways. Speaking of right place.
The right place to really be is on season one, Rock of
Bel-Air.
Bel-Air. AKA, someone wrote in and said, they said that, I think the Charm School house was in Silver Lake. But I didn't really fuck with Charm School.
Oh, I didn't either. We could. Maybe
we
someday.
We could, but sometimes those competition shows, like, I'm like, what are you really, like, what are you competing for? Nothing. At least when you're fake competing for the affections of Bret Michaels, it feels like something. Feels meaningful. I have skin in the game.
I know.
I don't have skin in
Flavor
the game.
Flavor of
for,
Love
like,
feels meaningful.
Oh, Flavor of Love is super meaningful.
I think Tiffany Pollard is like
She's a true American hero.
She's a star.
She's a star, born to be a star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had a moment where she
The gift that keeps on giving. But yeah, this
Start off, we're on episode 2. It's the first morning after like the initial night where all the women assemble.
Mm-hmm.
And Bret is hitting the gym.
Bret is doing some lat pulls in the gym.
Yeah.
Everyone else is trying to like sleep off the hangover.
Or like make a little brekkie mm-hmm. for themselves. Lacey and Brandy C and the other, as we come to know them, the A-team, are assembling in the kitchen. And they're gossiping about Tiffany.
They're all ready to like wake and shake, aka pour fucking shots of vodka into a blender and then just like suck down like margaritas.
Smoothie. Yeah, they're like already smoothie. It's like 10 a.m. on like a Wednesday and they're already ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
We cut and they're like someone's like, has someone seen Tiffany? And she's like, I don't think she's gonna be emerging anytime soon. Then we cut to Tiffany. She's on the comfiest looking love seat in history.
Yeah, she's on like a plush, furry kind of couch. She looks very peaceful. She's slumbering next to like a broken champagne glass.
She's also, she looks great. She's like, one blanket's like strewn like off her leg. Like she has her hand, like she looks very like painting. And there's a Longhorn like walls stencil above her. It's like, what is this room?
Like a southwestern cheetah room emerging of design sensibilities.
There's also an undrunken flute glass of champagne.
Mm-hmm. There's like there's booze and then there's just like broken glasses everywhere. And poor Tiffany, of course, she's like slept in her makeup, which is really the worst part of drinking too much is when you forget, like,
you don't
the
up.
Time you committed involuntary manslaughter in a drunk driving accident. What's the worst part of drinking and waking up is when you haven't washed your face and then you just like still have crusty eye makeup on from the night before. And then you just do a check-in and you're like, God, I really did like black out last night and just like pass the fuck out. I hate that for me. And then you just lay, you kind of have a headache. You just lay there. You also are feeling too shamed and shitty to even drink water and like help yourself. Like that would feel like too much. So you just lay and kind of
or pee.
Yeah. You just like mouth breathe and like, think about how gross you are until
you're kind of just like
an
you're kind of just like a human sarcophagus.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're totally
and you're housing your own self.
Yeah. You will
your mummy.
Mummy
is inside you and you're like you're just a shell.
Mm-hmm. You're dried up. Your body is fully petrified overnight. So you're just like a crispy skin shell with a tiny soul inside. And your eye makeup is still on.
A tiny little soul.
Your tiny shame-filled soul screaming out for any sort of love and affection.
Shame and pee-filled, your drunk pee-filled soul.
Your dry mouth
hungover,
soul.
Dehydrated pee-filled soul. So we cut to Tiffany again and we do a little recap of the night before. And they do like slow-mo montage of her going, don't threaten me with a good time. And then we cut to her again and she goes, how about them bears? Chicago Bears. I forgot she even said that. How about them bears?
I was wondering why she was like saying that, but then I remembered all these ladies are like weirdly from Chicago. They cast a wide net over Illinois and then whatever stragglers found Lake themselves. They pulled the net out of Lake Michigan and that's how they cast the Rock of Love girls in season one. Tiffany says that she maybe drank a little too much less yesterday, but her new approach is that she's, quote, gonna be more low-key.
and figure out what's going on in the house.
Yeah, I love that. Love that approach. Go, girl.
So she gets fresh and she wears platform flip-flops and takes to the scene. And then we cut to some of the girls are talking to Erin about her pre-show romance life. This girl that's asking Erin, I'm like, who the hell is that? I was like, I didn't see her last time. I swear these are plants.
I know. Some of them I was like, who are you?
They are.
I think some of their makeup changed. Like they went for a different glam look. And so that threw me off. But then it was a lot of names to try and learn in the first ep. So
no, I don't think I will not accept that girl was there on night one because she was completely a producer sent her in.
Go
to
ask
just
Aaron
bait
about
Erin for this question. Yeah.
Her
so Erin reveals that she was just broke off an engagement. She was supposed to get married like in a month to this man and they broke it off. And then she randomly starts talking about like a scrapbook he made.
So she says her ex-fiance scrapbooked their entire relationship from beginning to end. And then they were going to get married, but he broke it off and told her he wasn't in love with her anymore. And I just wrote gay. He's gay. Like, that's a gay. Like,
super
you're
gay.
You scrapbooked your entire relationship with this woman. And then you find you're like, I'm not in love with you anymore.
Just
a gay man.
Did he tell her? Did she like turn the page and it said like a blank page and it was like, it's over. I'm sorry. It's the only way I could tell you.
But this does
feel vision boarded.
Like I feel like he realized he was gay like at the end of his scrapbooking process and then he was like
I think the very process of scrapbooking tell you that you're gay.
Yeah, like he glued the final like picture of them like their engagement photo in the back of the scrapbook and then he was like turned it and closed it and looked at it and he goes, all done. And then he goes, oh, fuck. And then he realized he was gay and he had to break it off to like live his truth, which congratulations on breaking up with Aaron. And
good for you.
Yeah, good for you. I hope he found the man of his dreams.
I could imagine you at the table going, he's fucking gay.
You see me over at the bar with Tiffany and I'm just like, he's gay. Sounds gay to me.
Sounds gay.
They need one person gay on there to keep it real. Gay.
Somebody.
Oh, that's gay.
Yeah.
He's gay.
Anyone else that's gay behavior. Scrapbooking?
Scrapbook the entire relationship? He did?
And then Tiffany would be like, Tiffany would wise up.
Yeah.
Tiffany has gay friends.
Mm-hmm. She's trying to figure out the vibe.
Mm-hmm. So Aaron already, we know people are going to exploit this.
Well, Heather over here, Heather is like, she's a spy. She pops out of nowhere and she's like hanging off of a railing. And she goes, well, I heard that Aaron talking about her boyfriend. And then just fully hears this and runs with it and like makes up the fact that like Aaron currently has a fiance. Like the boyfriend rumor turns from boyfriend to fiance. And then like Heather's just like living in a psychosis of her own making.
Yeah, she literally runs off. And she's like, I'm going to tell Brett.
Yeah.
Like there are lots of tattles in this show.
Yeah, everyone's a rat on this show is what I'm learning.
I wrote The Drinking Begins.
The drinking begins at like 10:30 a.m.
Even more than the night before, I think.
Yeah, they're just like glug, glug, glugging away. I love like Lacey, who truly, I'm going to be real, is my worst nightmare of a woman.
Racy has totally Evie Quaid vibes. She's like full Evie, totally like full Evie, Randy Quaid's wife.
Yeah, like, it's a level. She's also like
trying way too hard to be like the same. Like, I think she's probably a good 15 years older than some of these girls.
Yeah, and she's trying to be like young and wild and just like a wild child. But like she like actually like scares me. Like I look at her and my heart fills with fear. You know. She freaks me out. And Lacey's like, well, I have a rule that I don't drink during the day. That's a nighttime activity. But hey, whatever. We're on vacation, right? And then just like pours herself like a big old glass of something. And so like everyone's just like breaking their own drinking rules except for Sam, who's sober. And you just keep seeing her with like bottles of Arrowhead water. And she's like, oh my God. Like everything that happens.
Yeah, not an easy place to be a friend of Bill.
I can't imagine like just like having to deal with all that insanity while just like sipping on your Arrowhead and like living your best sober life.
I would leave.
Kudos to her. Yeah, I don't think I would last long.
The girls are going crazy. Some of them, including Lacey, she like of course takes to the mic. They start like a little house band and
rodeo.
It's like it's almost like they're conjuring Brett. Like it's some kind of pagan band where they're like trying to raise the dead in this moment.
I think that it's like a noise
rock
to me.
It's an all-girl noise rock band.
Yeah, like it's really weird to me that Brett is living also in this house and then he's working out just like by himself, which did he just say like I'm like no one come in the workout room, or is like Big John being like making sure no one comes and works out? Like the girls are like, we need him to pay attention to us. It was very strange. And like everyone gets like rodeo gets on the guitar and is like playing guitar. And then like Sam is singing and they sing really awful music, but it does conjure Brett. He's like, I heard a noise and I needed to go investigate. And then
he's like, the music I heard women was pretty bad.
So I need to go in there and join him and play him some other bad music. And then we see everyone, once Brett takes to the stage, goes crazy.
The girls start pole dancing.
The girls, literally four women, just get on the pole. Rodeo also takes to the pole. She's stripped down to a bikini and she's just grabbing her tits underneath the bikini and like wiggling them at the camera. I just wrote rodeo.
That's amazing.
She looked incredible. She's the most confident woman I've ever seen.
I agree. And these are all like skilled dancers. So they're like, they're all
professional
like,
professional dancers and strippers for a living.
And they're doing an incredible like impromptu show for Brett / all of us. And I was living for it.
That seemed
and
fun.
Fucking
honestly.
Jess. Wet mop Jess comes out of nowhere. Just standing in the corner scowling and judging.
Old porcupine head, Jess.
Yeah. She's so judgy.
You cannot have hair like that and judge a soul. Every time I saw her her porcupine hair, I truly was like, oh my God. It never got less shocking. It never did.
It's the most shocking set of hair I've seen. I mean, we talked about it last episode, but like... It gets more shocking every time you see it. And I somehow think it gets larger.
It did. It got larger. It grew overnight and became even more porcupine.
It was out of control. Like, she's wearing the literal crown of thorns.
She fucking looks like she put her finger into a light socket and, like, electrocuted herself. But only the back half of her head. Only the bleached blonde parts that are truly spiked out to hell and back. You can't even get within like a foot of her without poking your retina.
She also, her hair, it's like the most, it's the worst color clash. It's like, she looks like a raspberry creamsicle.
It's so awful. I wrote, Jess is outrageous with that like, hair. Yes. It's like you, the ice cream man, you could order one. Like,
she has like cream white hair and like a deep, deep magenta, like pink, like it's just not, it's not good. Could you come up with a different scheme? Like, it's just really unsettling and quite frankly appalling. It's unbelievable.
Deserves a citizen's arrest. Needs to be made. Like, the FBI is going to come in and SWAT the entire building and drag Jess out. And
meanwhile, she's standing on a banister judging rodeo and these other ladies for, like, just feeling themselves and looking great and, like, dancing
partying
for their man.
Having a good time. Yeah. Trying to win some of Brett's affections.
She's in her corner with, like, her big hoodie on. And her, like... What are those, like, bootcut jeans?
How does she even wear a hoodie over that hair? How does she get the hood over that mane? Does it sit atop the, like, spikes?
I have no... Laura, what was that kind of jean where it was, like, almost bell-bottomy at the bottom and, like, emo girls would wear it?
True Religion?
Yeah, she's, like wearing
True Religion
jeans.
Rockin' Republic? It was like one of those brands, Rockin' Republic, with like the two R's on the butt,
and then like the ankle, like the cut, like it like almost
it
looks
flares.
Like a
flares. It really flares out almost as big as like your foot.
Yeah, and it looks like you know how like an oven comes down and it like is like a narrow column and then it flares out. It looks like an oven. The pants.
Yeah. Oh my God! I used to have
a stove.
A pair of like Rockin' Republic flares, and I would go out like it was a real like you wear your flares and like a going out top from like Urban Outfitters. No. I would buy like a going out top that was it would be like loose kind of and then get really tight around your waist and then be like a halter with some sequins, and then I would just like go to the bar in Oklahoma City. And I would literally binge drink Rock of Love style until I'd strut into a bar with my flares and my going out top and drink until I fell off a bar stool. And that was truly what that kind of outfit like begets.
And it's like you don't have feet.
No, because you're just consumed. They're just consumed by your jeans.
You're just consumed by
that's
the flare.
Part of it. That's kind of the charm of that severe of a flare is that you just don't. I don't have feet. And then you just you flare stomp around.
I'm a girl. I'm a girl and I don't have feet.
No feet, just
I'm
flare.
I'm like really chill. I'm really chill and I get along with guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't have feet.
No feet on these flares. You wear a little heel and the flare fully covers the heel. So then you're kind of just like walking around on your tiptoes with just like two flare legs. And you're going out top.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Well, Jess is standing there in a banister with her big hoodie on, a glass of white wine and flare jeans, and she's just scowling at this scene in front of her. And then the slut shaming really starts. The women start really going in on each other.
Yeah, everyone like who's sitting outside, which is like Magdalena, Faith, and some like other randos, are really being Tiffany. Haters. Oh yeah, Tiffany. But I think Tiffany's just trying to like get a sense of like how to align herself. She's trying to play catch up and just like make up for her entire blackout the day before. Oh, Tamra is also on Team Hater, which we learn that Tamra is not, there's not anything going on in that head of hers. I just nicknamed her K-hole because she still looks like she's in a K-hole.
She's truly, that's K-H.
She has the blank stare of a K-hole.
Of just she like does. 24/7. That's her superpower.
Yeah. And so I don't even know if she knows where she is. Going into the K-hole.
She wouldn't do anything. She would just like,
she's like
face a corner. That's her, that like everyone like storms like conjuring like rain and mm-hmm. Wolverine, and then K-hole just turns into
that K-hole a wall. Just goes into a K-hole, yeah. Just stares at something and asks you like a question that she asked you earlier. And you're just like, what?
You're like, yeah.
Yeah, and then leave her be. Don't try and like mess with her right now. She said Tamra's just like sitting there, K-holing the fuck out. And then Magdalena's chiefing a parliament. And they say, yeah, they think it's the slutty girls versus the bitchy girls. And I was like, honey, the slutty girls are probably going to win because no one likes a bitch that much. I was like, you should get in there and take a body shot and just chill out.
Have fun.
It's 10 a.m. Like, you're down to smoke a cig. Just, like, have a beer and, like, stop being such a wet blankie.
They're all taking this show so seriously. The other girls have cracked, including Rodeo the most, I think, have cracked the code. And they're just like, I just don't take this seriously. I think
Rodeo is taking it really seriously.
Rodeo's taking it really but the other girls, I mean, I think they want to be with Brett, but I think they're just having fun being on TV and like being silly.
Yeah, and like, I think the best way to hang with Brett.
You're Brett's steakhouse.
Yeah.
Take a shot.
Take a fucking shot. Dance around. Play like the guitar. I was shocked that they touched a guitar. Honestly, I thought that Brett was going to lay the smack down on that. But I guess that was a guitar that you could touch. The one that was on the stage. Lacey tries to talk to Jess and like the girls.
They shut her down. Dallas says it looks like a strip club by the airport.
Kind of, but like,
I was like, that's mean.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Let it be. It is what it is. That's what my dad always says. It is what it is. Yeah. I'm like, thanks, Dad. Lacey then devises a plan with Brandy C, who I actually ended up kind of liking at the end of this episode, just because like I can appreciate Brandy C for like who and what she is. Like, I experienced the full breadth of emotion like through hate back into just like neutrality / respect. Lacey's like,
she's chaotic neutral.
Yeah, she devises a plan to throw Jess into the pool. And then
to like link arms with her and drag her in.
But like, she literally just goes like football style, tackles her, and then just drags her right from a sitting position backwards into the pool.
And Jess is wearing so much makeup in her hair. Like, I was worried for her.
She's wearing so many clothes. Yeah, like it was not.
You just see her little flares fly up in the air and she goes into the drink.
Also, like, a beer bottle like breaks and falls into the pool. I was like, there's so much broken glass in this pool, I'm sure, by the end of the night. Like, people, it's a shock that anyone lives through this experience. Like, you cannot walk around barefoot in the Rock of Love house.
Yeah, Lacey's plan was like very fraught, and just unnecessary. And she like really went hard.
She went too hard, but ultimately she did Jess a favor because that's the best her hair has ever looked when it's just been totally.
I know.
Bad. I was like, wow, you should actually be thanking her and not that mad because now you look great. And then Lacey's and hair
like,
dye.
Get the fuck away from me. From me right now. Get the fuck away from me.
I'm not even kidding.
Get away from me.
And I was like, ooh, she's pretty when she's mad. I was liking it. Once you take that porcupine hair down, I'm all in on Jess, old J-Dog. But later she comes back with a new hairstyle that's arguably almost worse than porcupine.
we'll get there. There's just a random shot where Brandy and Krista are making out on the bar. Like, it's 11:30 a.m.
Yeah, it's full-blown, just, like, back of the bus, late like, morning. Groupie style. Yeah. Lacey's hair dye, too, is, like, too fresh and is now just dripping down her face. Lacey's, like, trying to make fun of Jess, and she's like, oh, ha-ha, and she's, like, fully looks like Satan. Her hair is, like, just dripping. Her face is, like, bright fuchsia. I was like, I'm terrified by you. This is when my fear crept in.
Brett decides to quell the daytime party. I think they all go and like take a nap.
They had to.
Or something.
There's no way they could like.
So they all went and they go to see Brett's like, I got a surprise for them coming up. So I think all the girls take a siesta and then they come to and they all have to gather in a room and they get their next instructions. And everyone's like very stripped down in this moment. Rodeo, I was unrecognizable.
What was she wearing? Was she wearing her sweats?
She was just no hat, her hair down, and just no makeup. Just looking like very normal, but it was for some reason it was really shocking to me.
She's just in her chill mode. She's in like receiving mode where she's
super chill,
waiting for further instructions. Sorry, hang on.
Receiving mode. Yeah, Rodeo's in. Oh, Rodeo's in. High tone.
She's just in like.
She's in. She's preparing to hear things.
Yeah.
Preparing to hear things.
Receiving. She's opened up her like heart chakra to be in a place of reception for the journey that lies ahead. Rodeo, I feel like, is taking this like. This has been a life-changing experience for her, where she's like discovering things about herself that she never knew before.
Jess looks like Paramore.
Jess's hair, she just dried it and flat ironed it.
Unbelievable.
And it is worse than I prefer porcupine to the flat iron, because then you
I know.
See too that like somehow the hair that you thought was just like the front. That was pink is actually like all underneath and at the bottom. She's a shapeshifter.
It's so she is. So basically Brett he tells the women that they're gonna have to like because he's on the road so much, whoever he dates needs to learn how to be good at talking dirty to him on the phone.
Yeah.
So he can come.
So you're gonna have a phone sex challenge.
So all the women get into their best lingerie, they get themselves dolled up, except Tiffany. Is Tiffany still wearing the same dress?
No, so the editors actually did Tiffany dirty because then you hear first Magdalena is like huffing and puffing through like one of the dressing rooms and she goes, first we need a drink to be more creative, and then like goes in search of like a cocktail. Then it gets to Tiffany. And it's just footage from the night before of her drinking. And they're trying to pretend that it's
it's
not. And then Tiffany goes...
They did do her dirty.
I had a glass of white wine, a glass of red wine, a couple two treat things.
Yeah, she goes, dude, you hear Tiffany go... Tiffany's nervous. She's like, I'm not good. I've never had phone sex before. Like, I'm not going to be good at this, so I'm going to need some liquid courage. So mm-hmm. She goes... You just hear her go, do, 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 do. And then she goes, one white, one red. I mean, and then she starts, there's a shot of her pulling on her ear like she's a little kid nervously, chugging wine. Like,
yeah.
Literally just emptying it into her gullet. And you just hear her go, I've been drinking a lot. Couple two,
treatings.
I was like, okay.
And then the camera pans over to these women, and off screen you hear, "Don't threaten me with a good time."
Yeah, I think someone else is trolling her.
Oh no. Yeah.
So then all the girls gather for this phone sex challenge, and there's a doctor with a computer, and he says that they're going to wrap a sensor around Brett's dick and measure the blood rate that's going to his dick. So like measure his heart rate through his dick while these women one by one have phone sex with him, which I'm just like, thank fucking God for this show. That would never ever happen today. That could never happen again.
It's unbelievable. Like it's he literally
in time.
It's like a team of it is. I just wrote, this is insane.
That's truly insane. I didn't even remember that happened, but then I love that it happened. So one by one,
and they all have to do it in front of each other.
That's the cruelest part, because I don't know, do you think that you could muster up the level of performance necessary to get Brett Michaels' dick hard in this scenario?
No,
I don't know if I could either. I maybe could, but there's no way.
It'd be too, I mean, if I was alone, I could, but.
I think I'd probably be friends with most of the women I think I'd probably just be like chill with them. Like I wouldn't be trying to like start shit with anyone. Like I'd just be trying to make them laugh so that then when we got into like phone sex mode, I'd be feeling semi-self-conscious, but not like. Like, it would suck if people hated you and then they're laughing at what you say. Like, that's when my confidence would, like, really shake hard.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like... Yeah. It's hard to say.
No, I would be, like... I would be... Also, I think Brett can... I think, regardless of gender, Brett can get off on the phone with someone. Like, I don't think it takes much to get Brett for me.
Yeah, even the ones that did it well weren't even really trying that hard. I would turn. I liked Heather's approach.
And
Heather
Lacey
also just dove on the bed, fully back turned away from everyone else, and then covered up the phone and like whispered just like satanic murmurings into Brett's ear, which really seemed to do it for him.
Well, first we just see a smattering. Brandy is talking about like having a picnic on her body, and it's like not. It's like too cute and like awkward.
But he liked.
And Brett's
it.
Like
still,
not,
he got kind of a boner. Yeah. Then also the boner
Heather
comes with a beep beep sound, so it's either like beeping like boing, boop 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 boop, or it's flatlining, which is also so rude.
Yeah, Heather doms the girls. She's wearing just a G-string, gets on the bed and goes, I'm going to make this short and sweet. I'm going to make this short and sweet. You're going to listen to me, okay? And then Brett's like, yeah, I'll listen to you. Like, he's totally like.
He's entranced. Like, she is doing it all right. Like, her approach is truly like the most like. Die hard, like she knows exactly what she's doing, and I give her props at every single move, because she's not only establishing herself as like a hot DTF, like just like party girl, she's also just like a best friend that you can confide in, and like you can trust that she'll suss out any like fake bitches. Yeah, like she's hitting it from all angles.
I'll make this so sweet.
K-hole
Magdalena
gets on the mic.
Sings a song.
Magdalena. Brandy C goes, we call her Mag Deandathal because she's so tall. And we can't imagine her being with Brett. It would be wrong. And then Mag Deandathal gets on the phone sings a song.
She sings a song about like her the first time she saw Brett, like the night before. Like she sings a song about like she's like, when I got the phone call to come on a show, I came out to LA. Like she sings this whole song, and then Brett hangs up. Brett hangs up on the phone as she's singing.
Well, what in what world would she even think for a moment that anyone wants to hear her song about her journey to getting on Rock of Love? Like, that was a really unexpected twist coming from Magdalena, because, like, I just thought she was a little more with it than that. But she revealed herself in that moment. Also, someone wrote in to me and said that it was revealed that Magdalena actually ended up having a fling with Big John.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like Magdalena was maybe trying to, like, start a music career or something.
That was also not the way to go about that. K-Hole gets on Tiffany? The phone, and
oh, yeah.
She can't even have a conversation, really. She starts off and she sits on the edge of the bed and she goes, well, I was by the pool earlier and I was just hanging out. And Brett's like, what? And then she just kind of says a few sentence fragments and he goes, he's like, just talk to me, baby. And she goes, well, I'd feel really special if, like, and then he just hangs up on her.
And she goes, and you just hear her go, okay.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Once he's hung up.
Classic K-Hole.
And then we cut to Tiffany. Tiffany's? Oh, wait. Erin has a phone call, right? That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Erin does. She does, like, a British accent, but, like, a bad British accent. Her phone.
But he's into it.
He loves it. She just goes, do you like British accents? And he's like, ooh, yeah, baby. And then she's like, I'm from England. Oh, I'm going to spank you. And then he just gets, like, a rock hard boner. And then basically, like, she's sealed the deal.
Yeah.
As, like, the winner of that competition.
Tiffany gets on and she's wasted. Yeah. And she... you just cut to different, like, sound bites from her. He's, like, having the most bizarre conversation with him. And at one point she goes, was that before or after you gave me boxing lessons?
Tiffany,
she's like
always
talking
is,
about boxing him.
Like, she's the kind of drunk person that just starts talking about things and you have no idea what she's even talking about.
She's like, was that before or after you gave me boxing lessons? And he's like, what? And then
what?
She says, don't threaten me with a good time. And then he goes, oh, it was definitely Tiffany.
Yeah.
He hangs up.
Then Rodeo gets on.
And then Rodeo.
I can't actually do it.
Rodeo gets on and she's like, do you feel me? Do you feel your hands running up my body? Oh. And she's like having like a full like spiritual orgasm. Like she's literally going like, oh, like she's like having seismic orgasms in front of everyone.
She takes
you
herself
me,
to the brink of ecstasy
in front of people.
Yeah, could you go full Rodeo?
Rodeo could.
Rodeo can.
No, I'm saying you asked me if either like you asked the retort like could you even do that in front of people? I couldn't. I don't know if you could, but or, like you said, you couldn't probably do it. Rodeo could. Rodeo is probably the only person who can fully get down like that in front of 20 people and a camera crew.
She can and she did.
On a VH1 reality show.
Competing. Not even, like, a locked-in situation with, like, your paramour. Just, like, truly competing with 16 other girls for Brett Michaels to keep you on a show for one more week.
Yeah.
Rodeo goes balls to the wall and honestly... I kind of got turned on. Like, I was like, damn, like, she's got it going on. Like, the confidence, it's amazing how far that'll take you.
She's the most confident.
I love how far that will take you to Rock of Love season one, where you debase yourself for Brett Michaels to choose you week after week.
You get a lanyard.
I'm like, women, take note. This is how far confidence can get you. Confidence gets you everywhere.
It's but she goes like, she's like fully like, she closed her eyes, like she turns the world off, and all the women are just like, they're so in shock.
Yeah, like they thought that they could bring it to that level. They had no idea. And then finally, Brett walks out from behind his little Boner Garage, and he literally, looking at him in his PJs, was like looking in a mirror at night. Like, that's how I look. I was like, Brett looks familiar. Who does he look like? And I was like, oh my god, he looks like me. And I was like, love that.
Your hair down.
He looks like me with my hair down when I go curly. And if I put on a pair of PJs, I would look exactly like Brett Michaels.
I love that.
I love it. I was like, God, if Halloween was happening, if Halloween was happening this year, like, I would dress up as Brett Michaels.
Just wear like casual eyeliner for your evening wear.
I could just wear eyeliner and a bandana around my head and some flare jeans and a cowboy hat, and I would be doing full Brett Michaels cosplay.
You would. So Brett picks Rodeo, Lacey, and Aaron as his winners, because he can't just pick one.
Yeah. And Heather is...
Yes, he's going to go on a date with all three of them.
It's
yeah, Heather's
date.
Not happy.
Heather's pissed.
She's ready to wage war on Aaron.
Yeah, like, she's not having it. Do your Aaron phone sex impression.
Aaron?
Oh, no, Heather.
Or Rodeo.
Heather.
She goes,
I want to make this short and sweet. You listen to me. Now you shut up, you sit down, and you listen to me now. I'm not here to play. You got to roll up, but I'm not. Now you're going to listen to me now. Now you shut up, Brent. I want to make this short and sweet.
I made the short tweet. He truly was like hypnotized, but not hypnotized enough to choose her.
Yeah, she didn't win. So the girls all like are pissed, and they're all like getting into their evening moment. And Brandy and Aaron are sharing a room currently. And Brandy says, Aaron walks into the room, and Brandy goes, "Ugh." Brandy sees. She goes, "I just want to kick her."
She goes, "I want to kick." Then, she goes, "You know what? I want to kick you."
And then Aaron goes, "What'd you say?" And she goes, "Did you just say you want to kick me?" And then Brandy sees like, no, I said I want to kiss you. But like, you're taking it to an extreme and like, you're being such a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, full like.
True psycho hours. And honestly, it's like, okay, like, this is how Brandy C fights. Like, she's got nothing. Like, she just tries to like pimp you into having a reaction, then she can like try and turn it around on you. But the best thing to do is like not engage, because anything you say with a person like that, they just like take it and run and like make it all about them, which soon enough we see.
Aaron engages. Aaron is definitely the bull, and like, she knows she's clobbering Brandy.
Yeah,
with her, she's just like, "You're really stupid," like,
she was
blah,
like,
blah,
"You're
blah.
Stupid,
and then she,
you're ugly. Go take your meth scratched face and like fuck off," essentially. And then Brandy goes, "Meth scratched? That's funny. I got in a car accident."
And like, we're not sure how much we can believe of that, because she just showed that she like can flip and like deny what she like said in a heartbeat.
But
like,
also
she can lie immediately.
I love, like, meth scratch. Oh, that's funny. I actually got in, like, a horrific disfiguring car accident. Like, as though, like, that's somehow, like, better or whatever. Like, it's,
yeah,
like, a blow to the face is a blow to the face. It doesn't really matter how it got there. Like, you'd still end up with, like, a facial scar. Then drunk Brandy.
Well, at first, it was interesting, because at first, Brandy didn't even seem that fazed by the meth thing.
No. But I think she realized that this was her moment to, like... to like milk it for all it was worth. And then she starts crying, and then she's weeping to like Christia or whatever that other girl's name is. And Brandy goes, "I was in a car accident. I have a disability." And I was like, honey, you need to do some e-search on what disability means. And then like,
yeah,
get back to me when you're aware of like what
she's,
it means to be.
It's horrible.
Like, it's horrible.
She's fully committed to this moment, though. Like, she took this and is running with it so hard, and she's going to tell Brett.
She's going to tell Brett another that tattletale. Aaron made fun of tattle her two. Disability. Yeah, just fucking rats everywhere.
So then we cut to another room with Lacey and Dallas, and somehow pets come up, and Dallas takes a decidedly anti-pet, anti-animal stance, and announces that if there was an animal right, that she hates animals and pets so much that if there was an animal in that room with them right there, she would slit its throat. She literally says, I would slit a pet's throat.
I love. Well, also, I think that Dallas knew, because, like, it starts off where Dallas is like, I hate animal, hate pets, like, get rid of them. And then, like, Lacey walks in and is like, as a active supporter of PETA, I really don't appreciate you, like, saying this about animals. And so then we know we have key information. Like, if you're trying to, like, fuck with someone and they've revealed themselves to be a PETA freak, you know that it only takes, like, a few choice words to, like, make them go absolutely bonkers. So Dallas was totally triples down.
Yeah, Dallas was, like, just saying absolute nonsense to get it under Lacey's skin, and it 100%
works. And it works. There's nothing, like, that's a thing about PETA people, is that, like, they can't even, like, they have no sense to be able to just, like, laugh something off like that, or just even ignore it, or just be like, okay, freak, and, like, walk away. Like, there's zero laws in PETA land.
And Lacey takes the bait, and then it just shows you, too, like, how these girls are good.
Mm-hmm. They're great.
They know how to work it.
Lacey
announces that she too will be a tattle.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Dallas is kind of my fave.
I love, if there was an animal here right now, I'd slit its fucking throat. I was like, whoa. Whoa, that's a hardcore thing to say. I love it.
Dallas is hardcore.
Dallas is hard fucking core. I love just, like, I wouldn't fuck telling with her. I would not say that to Lacey, because everyone knows I fear Lacey.
Lacey's gonna, like, turn you into, like, a cat.
No, if I was on the show and it was Lacey was around and I was around, then the camera would always just be, you'd see me in the back, like, whenever she was talking, be like watching her, like, to the terrified look on my face.
She's so scary.
She's scary.
So Brett gets a late night talking with Brandy C. She comes in to tattle on Aaron. Mm-hmm. She tells Brett what happened.
Brett isn't even looking her in the eye. He's just staring at her tits the entire time. She's weeping, crying to him, and he's like, mm-hmm. And his eyes are like, I'll talk to her. Trained right on her tits.
Oh, he's completely looking at her boobs, and he's like, I'll talk to her. And then you just cut to them, and she goes, thanks, Brett. And they cut to them just passionately making out. Just
sucking face.
with tongue. Like, that's, she tells on him for a girl making fun of her for getting into a car accident, and then the conversation ends with them just tonguing each other.
And then
sucking each other's tongue.
At one point in their conversation, she's, like, crying, and she's like, if I was in a wheelchair, like, and she made fun of that, like, would you make fun of someone that's in a wheelchair? And then it got spread, and he goes, I have to be honest, like, Brandy C talking in that high-pitched baby voice and crying really got me all turned on. And then they do, like, a silly edit of her saying, like, a sexy, silly edit of her saying that wheelchair thing, and I was just like, wow. Wow.
So we go to the next day, the day of the date. Or the night of the date.
It starts in the day and ends in the evening.
So he takes Aaron, Lacey, and Rodeo to the studio to record vocals for a new song he's doing with some Rolling Stones producer.
I truly was like, oh my god, I can't wait to see where they go on this date. Like, how is he gonna, like, wine and dine them? And he takes them to work.
Yeah. Bad date. It's so typical.
It's a bad date, yeah. And he wants them to contribute to his track.
Unpaid.
Unpaid. And, like,
yeah.
I was trying to scope out, like, what food was in the stew. Because I was like, well, where's the food in this date? Like, the food and the drink. And then the food looked like mini Eggo waffles or, like, mini quiche or something like that. Went completely untouched the entire time. I'm sure it smelled like weird egg in there. And I was just like, this date sucks.
Yeah, it's like the way to a woman's heart, bring her
to work.
Shitty studio.
Bring her to the office. And ask her to work on an Excel spreadsheet for you. Plug some numbers in. That's like the... Ask her to return a few emails.
Well, at one point, he just goes, I think, to Aaron, and he just goes, you've never been in a studio before?
Why would she have?
Why would anyone be in a studio?
Very few people have been in studios before. Like, people that are actively in your industry. Maybe he's just surprised because he thought she's dated, like, other rockers. Or he was trying to get a sense of, like,
you're a groupie.
Yeah, like maybe she's been in the stew as, like, a plus one or something.
But also, like, I think he's just, his world is so just all about him that he's just literally like, wait, what?
Whoa.
I think it was like a quiet glimpse into his like reality of just his small world.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that Jim Henson's studio, like when he first said that, I was like, oh, is he taking them to like see how like the Muppets are made or something like that? Like I thought it was going to be something cute. And then it was truly just like a work day. He took them into his shit.
He took them to the one on Hollywood and La Brea.
Yeah. Jim Henson Studios.
Oh, I live near there.
Yeah. You too could go to work with Brett.
I could. Lacey's singing voice is insane.
Every move she made, my fear spiked. My fear boner
she's
was banshee, off the charts.
She's...
Sexy banshee vibes.
And then Rodeo, I just wrote, is Rodeo like in her 50s?
Yes. Rodeo's date outfit too was so hot. She was wearing like a onesie that had, but like the legs of it was like two little Pied Piper flaps or something. And then her signature cowboy hat. And it, Rodeo, like... Everything that happens is like a chance for Rodeo to like deepen her connection with herself in a way.
Yeah.
Like she gets she's trying all sorts of new things she's never tried before. And I think she's having fun just like learning about herself in these situations more than she's even like connecting
into
with Brett at first. Yeah.
I agree with you. I think she's in a whole other show.
Yeah. It's the Rodeo.
Like, there's a
show.
Whole other show about rodeo going on.
This is
and I
want to
see that
love.
Show.
Yeah.
I want to see more of that show. Like, she's having a solo journey in this very much non-solo world. And she's thriving in a way. She's a dark horse. Like, you would think that she'd be, like, the odd woman out because she's older.
Yeah, or that she'd be, like, especially embarrassing or something. But, like, she fucking owns it.
She's calm, cool, and collected and in touch with her body, and she loves herself. And she's loving herself even more as she goes, which is really cool.
And she uses this, like, opportunity on the track to just, like, riff. And she makes just, like, orgasmic, like, moaning sounds. And, like, she really, like, lets it, like, take her away. And Brett is into it. And I think Rodeo is, like... surprised at her own ability to like really go there, and everyone else around her is like, what is happening? And then she really just like goes like full Monty, and then she comes away shocked that she took it to like that level, and then just can't stop laughing. She's in
her
true
her laughter.
Can you play the laugh?
I don't have it, but it's it was. She was like, "Sig charred bliss." She's ecstatic. The final song, too, of all, and then Erin can't sing for shit, so she just says like Britney Spears like British Britney talk.
It was like, really weird. She defaulted to like, oh yes, daddy. Like she was like, oh, I'm a British nanny.
She's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, because Brett likes us. So she's just playing to him.
I love.
And then they listen to the song.
Fucking Lacey going, come December, hey baby, do you remember?
The final song is horrifying, but they're all like listening with Brett, and they're all just like, Rodeo's digging it.
Also, after everyone sings, Brett like will take them to a couch to like talk to them. And after Rodeo sings, Brett's like so turned on, and he's like, come over here. And they like lay down on a leather sofa and just making out for like God knows how long. And I'm like, there are people still in like the booth. Like everyone's still there, like waiting for like the next part of the studio.
Including the other women that you're on a date with.
The other women, but also like the sound engineer lady, and then like the producer guy. And they're kind of just like standing around being like, all right.
They may have fucked that night.
They definitely like dry humped on that couch. I love him just being like, just come here. And they had to like make out. They had to go for it.
It's unbelievable. The moans. And then back at the house, it's like mutiny. The women, the other girls are getting so like frustrated, and like they're tapping
Lord
their
of
toes
the
for Brett's return.
Wait, are you ready?
That is like dual voices. That's possession exorcist style.
She's like
multi-voice
singing and laughing.
Rodeo's like unbelievable.
I like forgive her for everything. Like she, like I don't even care that she maybe could potentially QAnon and is spreading like misinformation about like forest fires. Because, like, she's a queen that's also giving us so much, on the other hand, that she deserves a little, like, forest fire misinformation on Twitter every once in a while as a treat.
As a treat.
Let her have it.
Spread a little misinformation.
As a treat. Just a special.
But not fire.
No.
So we go back to the house, and the girls are going wild, and they're ready to tattle. Heather is ready to unleash on Brett about Erin.
They've painted a sign that says the A-Team with, like, fingernail polish and smacked it on the wall above the bar.
The Brandy C's of the house, like, mm-hmm. that whole crew who were, like, going crazy at... who are just living life at the party earlier, they're called themselves the Varsity A-Team.
Yeah. The
and
sluts,
Jess
if you will.
Jess and the other girls are the JV girls.
I love, like, when you're B-Team and you think that you're, like, way better than the A-Team, like, you think you're A-Team, but really little do you know that you're actually B-Team.
Yeah. That's the truth. There's a lot of people like that in high school that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a true state of mind that you carry on throughout the rest of your life, I think.
Yeah. Heather goes beelines to Brett and rats out Erin, and she spreads some misinformation.
She takes him on the roof.
Own. Yeah.
She's wearing this cut out, like, her dress is, like, unbelievable.
It's great. It's like a cut out, like, rhinestone band around, like, a backless. Like, she's gone, like, just, it's full, like, groupie. Her whole vibe mm-hmm. is, like, very seductive and incredible.
So she takes Brett on the roof, and she's like, I need to tell Brett about Erin. And then Heather goes, I care about this guy a lot.
She tells Brett is wearing a hoodie with an AR-15 on it. He's wearing like a tie-dyed hoodie. His style is really like amazing.
It's really wild. So he's like, go get Erin. So he brings her up to ask if she is still with her fiance. Yeah. Heather went as far to be like, they're getting married this month. Like, she like totally just made up this whole shit. So Erin comes up and she's like, no, we broke up before I came on here. Like, you just lied.
Yeah. She's like, I would not be on the show.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah. You literally like didn't even hear correctly and just decided something fake. Fake news, Heather. And then,
but Brett like still appreciates Heather's, even if what she told was a lie, because he's like, she's like a down girl,
and it shows like loyalty, and it's also like, I'm looking out for you. Like, she's looking out for him.
She's playing it well.
I love too that Brett has one moment where he's like, he comes home from his date. Oh, imagine going on a date with a guy. He brings you to his office and then he comes home to a house full of other women and starts immediately just talking to them and like trying to connect with them. So he goes and makes rounds to see if there's anyone else he needs to like reconsider before eliminations. And he tries to have a convo with K-Hole, who just like isn't registering anything again. And he like talks to her about the stew. Also, Brett will only talk about the stew, which is like also annoying. Tony. And K-Hole just goes, oh, cool.
Oh, wow. He's like, yeah, the producer recorded with like artists like Rolling Stones and like, you know,
he's like
Leonard Skinner or
Patty. Patty LaBelle, Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah. And then Tamara has no idea who he's talking about.
She's like waiting for him to finish talking. She thinks that he's gonna like keep talking, but then he is actually finished, and then she goes, oh, cool,
wow.
Poor
when he says Bonnie Raitt, you see Tiffany go, whoa.
Wait, then they take Tiffany aside to ask her who she hopes gets eliminated, and she goes, tonight I hope Brenda goes home. And I was like, who's Brenda?
Maybe.
They're like, Erin. Like, they're like, they like have to correct her.
She's smashed.
Tonight I hope Brenda goes home.
Maybe there was someone named Brenda.
I don't know. It was like some
other woman. Name. Some woman was just living in the house, like hiding in the house in the walls. And Tiffany.
Tiffany, overnight, she wasn't in a room. So she was haunted by this like spirit known as only as Brenda, who would only identify herself as angry Brenda. And they're asking Tiffany. And she's Brenda like, leave. I hope Brenda goes home. I hope that ghost that lives in the walls goes home. If she's earnestly hopes.
Brenda goes.
Oh, Brenda goes home. Tonight, oh, Brenda goes home. I literally looked around. I was like, who is Brenda? I felt like I was crazy in that moment.
Tiffany makes my stomach hurt from laughing so
hard. I know. I'm like literally crying.
So then he assembles the girls for an elimination.
And he changes into a cow coat.
Unclear.
It's like a full cow coat. I hate it.
He eliminates Tiffany.
I know. But also Rodeo gets the first pass again. Her
Rodeo
strut,
and
when she struts up to receive her pass, is the strut of a woman who knows exactly what she's worth.
You want to like date? I love. I want
I
you
like.
I'm date
like turned on by Rodeo. I literally am.
The other women are totally underestimating her, which I don't like.
Yeah, I mean,
they're like, I don't want to be in the same league as Rodeo. It's like Rodeo's cleaning up.
You fucking wish you could be in the same league. You're not even in the same sport, honey. Let alone, forget a league. You haven't entered the playing field. Rodeo's jacked. She's a great body, great attitude, and is talented, and is down to have a good time. Basically, I'm in
Speaking
love
of
with
good
Rodeo.
Time. When Tiffany gets eliminated, Brett goes, I was like kind of sad when she got eliminated. And Brett goes, Tiffany, she was the rock girl. She asked me not to threaten her with a good time, but it was the third strike.
Strike three, you're out. I love Chewie's, she didn't do well. He is Tamara. He also goes from calling Tamara Tamara to calling her Tamara. And then he keeps going Tamara. Like, he goes, the lights are all on, but no one's home. And then Tamara kind of like struts down and like tries to find her way out of the house and like can't open the door. Like, she's just like not, she's not getting it.
And she goes, and Brett, by the way, it's Tamara.
Yeah.
That's the last thing Tamara. She said.
Tawny also was tragically eliminated, which I thought gone too soon, because in the first scene of the episode, or like early on, she was letting Brett do body shots off of her. I thought that she had cinched it.
I know.
But I guess not.
Brandy was sad.
Yeah. I love also Brandy like, M nodding
her,
along.
One of our varsity like, girls.
Yeah. Making faces about like who's getting eliminated. And then mm-hmm. when Tiffany was eliminated, she goes, he actually missed out on a person he could take home to mom.
Come again?
Okay. I love that you think that.
You know what? We're just gonna let her go with that. Yeah. I'm not gonna take that away from her. Don't threaten her with a good time.
Tiffany home to your mom.
Don't throw me to a good time. Like
Don't
the first,
me
the like,
good time.
The night before Thanksgiving, like you're at the house for the first time.
She gets blammo. She tries to give you a lap dance in front of your parents.
The Thanksgiving is ruined.
Ruined. Goes up in flames. Oh my god, these ladies. I'm truly nothing brings me like I'm it I have not felt this
I'm
much
so happy.
Joy in like the past 6 months. It truly is like a balm for the soul. This is just you and I having like laugh therapy together, essentially.
It is. It's like a soothing like harp chord.
Mm-hmm.
Just a strum of a harp. That's what this is.
Yeah, a full blown.
Are you playing it again? On that note.
Oh my god. On that note, we bid you farewell. A very earned farewell. I have to take a shower. I sweat too so much because I was laughing.
I love that.
Getting to my PJs, my Bret Michaels cosplay.
I got a shower. I was laughing so hard.
I sweat through my clothes. Everyone should follow Carrie at eCario. Speaking of laughing so hard, you sweat through your clothes. You're hysterical on both Twitter and Instagram.
Follow Lars at larsmarie.com on Twitter and Instagram. And write into our... the bonus episodes reader mail.
If you want bonus episodes, just tons and tons of premium content, you should join Patreon at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. There's just like probably a year's worth of
so
content
much.
There that you could go through.
Yeah. And you might have to.
Yeah. Check it all out. And write us your thoughts. sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com.
See you on the tour bus next week.
Love and light. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5.
From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.